So we're moving on to missions.
And Counter-Strike had some great ones.
Yeah. Awesome. Blitzkrieg, definitely powerful. Only Merrick.
Play only when attacking. Untap each blocking mech that is not guarding. Those mechs neither deal nor receive damage. If no blocking mechs remain, deal damage to the target as if unblocked.
So if no blocking mechs remain, deal damage to the target as if unblocked. That's that is the magic phrase in order to basically just swamp your opponent. This is the huge tempo push that you're looking for as an Intersphere player. Mm-hmm. If you're playing Merrick, you're playing this card. It's that good. This is a situation where a Merrick's opponent is going to play around it. They are going to understand that they can't just have three or four fast mechs patrolling and hope to stand a chance against a Merrick Blitzkrieg. They're going to have to send mechs guarding, which doesn't allow for flexibility. A lot of people don't like to set a bunch of mechs to guard because it's a situation where if you only have 15, 16 cards left in your stockpile, this ends the game just like that. I rank it a 9. It's a fantastic card. It's one of the few gems in this set, and it's a great card for Merrick.
Okay, before we start, I need to point out that I let Gustav choose the cards first, and he picked four missions that are arguably the best four in the set. So anyway, this is one of them. If you think about Tom Shyster Smith's Merrick Gorge Master, it ran one Blitzkrieg, it ran one F Forge Mission Orders, it ran one Final Push. So Blitzkrieg, great mission, but the others gave him options. You never knew what was going on there. You always had to do something. And he manipulated that really well with that particular mission choice and knew what he was going to be playing. It's a great card. It's a 9 for anybody with a Merrick deck.
Awesome. All right, coming up next, we have Deploy Reinforcements. So play only during battle. Choose one of your untapped mechs that is not in the battle. Roll a die on a 1-2, return deploy reinforcements to your hand after the mission. On a 3-6, tap that mech to have it join the battle.
Okay. And another one of my choices, which I know a lot of people will find this to be slightly underwhelming, and maybe in today's play than it is. But if you put yourself in the context of playing Innersphere, playing a swarm deck with lots of 2 and 3 cost mechs, send a couple over, see what happens, see if the guy blocks. And if you can't kill the mech, you play your deploy reinforcements, bring another mech in with enough damage to deal with it, to kill off that Fenris Prime or whatever else it was. It's a little surprise card, and there's no lose criteria on it either. If you roll a 1 or 2, you put it back in your hand. The only surprise is the other guy knows that it's there, which again, you can exploit if you want. So it's a little mind trick. It's useful. It was used reasonably well early on. People wouldn't put 6 in a deck. They'd have 1 or 2 just for that little shock value. Possibly could play quite well in draft as well.
Well, it seems kind of, you know, better too in the fact that it's not wasted. Like, there's no chance that you're going to play it and nothing happen and it goes straight to your scrap heap. And so at least there's that there. And this does bring up a question that I have in terms of kind of the rules where it's not clear in terms of the order of things happening. And so if you're engaged in your battle, and let's say, and say that you lose initiative, or let's say you win initiative, your opponent deals all the damage, they play their missions, and then you play this and bring that other mech in, does that reset the phase? That mech they tap in can't be is not going to receive any damage. It's just going
to kind of, it won't get damaged because there's nothing for it to be assigned to at that point. Right.
Okay.
Not even in the group.
If you have initiative, it's a huge surprise card that you have the ability to, okay, I've seen where you assigned all your damage. I see what you jumped, where you prevented damage, all that's out there. Yeah. Now I'm going to bring in my Prometheus. I'm going to overheat in Alpha Strike and wipe your board. And
yeah. Gotcha. And that is that.
It's a card I wouldn't play. I mean, I recognize it. It's niche early on. It has a surprise. I would not play this in any deck. I'd rank it like a 2 or a 3, but I understand why Mark would give it a 6. You could play it in draft. Absolutely. It has a high value in draft, but I would not play it in constructed deck.
Gotcha. All right. So moving on, next card up is End Run. Play when the number of mechs you are attacking is greater than the number of mechs blocking, and only if you have tactics in play. Choose one of your mechs. That mech may deal damage to the target as if unblocked. The target may deal damage to that mech.
Yeah. Again, you know, Gustav got all the four good ones, so I ended up with putting a little bit of flesh around them, so to speak. The conditions are a bit awkward to achieve. Play with more than he's got or your opponent's got. But actually, in that respect, it's a good finisher card. It's a good game breaker because you can select which one of your mechs deals damage to the target. Mm. So those two or three blockers, they can go out of the way and you can deal with it. It's kind of heroic sacrifice without the drawbacks, apart from having more mechs. It's not going to see play in a lot of tournament or anything like that. But it's one of those game-breaker cards that you kind of want in draft. You want something in draft that's going to allow you to remove that stalemate, which very, very often happens in draft. You want your heroic sacrifice. You want your blitzkrieg. You want your forged mission orders for that little bit extra that you need to deal damage to the stockpile. And this arguably, if you're playing with Counter-Strike, is one of those cards. So, you know, it's usable. It's a 4 normally. In draft, for me, it's a 7.
I'd say it's a 2 or a 3. There's so many better cards for constructed. But in draft, it's definitely a 7 or an 8. You're always looking for a way to push that little bit more and break the stalemate in draft. And I think it's definitely a... When Wizards of the Coast was designing cards, they had to look at cards and say, these cards have to be playable both in a constructed circumstance and a draft circumstance. And End Run is definitely a positive draft experience for folks. So in limited play, it gets a much higher ranking. So 7 or 8.
All right, coming up next, we have Four, the Chancellor. Play only when blocked. For each blocking mech that takes structured damage during this combat, untap one attacking mech at the end of combat.
Similar sort of card in that respect. When you think about End Run, it's one of those stalemate breaker cards. I know Gustav's going to talk about Overrun in a minute or two, but arguably in Overrun, you have to destroy everything on the other side. This card only asks you to deal structure damage. The trouble being that you need to deal a number of structure damage to mechs in order to untap yours. That may be a situation where actually you don't deal enough damage to kill the mech and it's still on the board, which is a disadvantage. However, if you untap and go again, it's one of those game finisher cards. It's low only. I quite like it. I've played it a few times and people don't expect it, but they expect the overrun, and then you just say, well, I'll deal 5 to that and 5 to that and 5 to that, and then my 3 untap and go again. You're out of blockers and I can hit the stop bar for 15 or whatever it is. So, you know, you're not going to play 6. You might play 1, though. So for me, usable, probably better in draft.
I think when you compare this to the Merrick card that I reviewed, you just see why Lau is a dirty trick player. it's not as good as Blitzkrieg. I think we all agree with that, but it's definitely a playable card. I'd give it a 5. Higher in draft, probably a 7 in draft, but definitely a 5 in regular gameplay. It's definitely a situation where an opponent will think you have a overrun and you can get that tempo boost because they're tapped out and you get one back. Now, the issue here is with an overrun, they can chump block with 1 and you can have attacked with 5. All 5 of your mechs would untap. If you only have for the Chancellor in play and you dealt the structure damage, only 1 of your attacking mechs could untack. So there's a trade-off there as well where Overrun arguably is a better card, but it's definitely playable. Gotcha.
All right, and we are on Hip Shattered.
I'll read it.
All right, so we got Hip Shattered. Choose a mech. If that mech receives structure damage, put a hindrance counter on it. A mech with hindrance counter cannot block, and its speed is slow.
This is one of those rare pulls in a pack that you're going to be disappointed in. This card has rarely an opportunity to be relevant. An opponent unit that did not get scrapped but took structure damage during a mission. It cannot be repaired. There's no way to remove a hindrance counter in the game. You can add hindrance counters with the card we'll talk about later on, but you cannot repair them. This just means that your opponent's mech will now attack every turn until it dies. It can't block. So you spent one of the surprise cards from your hand. You did not kill a mech. You did not save your own mech. That's basically the two things you want a mission card to do. Either get a kill when you previously couldn't, or prevent a kill when your opponent thought they had it. And now you've just guaranteed that your opponent's going to attack with this unit until it dies. It's a two. Terrible rare to pull.
Yeah. All right, let's skip forward. Mark, unless you have something special to say about this not good card?
No.
All right, so we got Overrun coming up.
Yeah, Overrun is a huge upside. Using your mechs more than one time per mission breaks the normal rules of the game. You were thinking about why Mark chose that double time offense. This is exactly the similar situation where your mechs get to go on two missions at one time. This is a situation where you didn't have to pay anything for it. All you had to do is ensure that all of your opponent's units were scrapped. Many times, if you go with a big enough group with enough attack, your opponent may just chump block thinking, we've got an advantage on the backswing. We'll take you out. Well, not so much. Not only if my mechs have long range, I'm going to deal damage and scrap your chump blocker, but now I'm going to go again. Now look who's going to be able to have the tempo and be able to finish you off. Very good late game. Sees a lot of play in constructed. I'd rank it a 7.
Yeah. And that is play only when blocked. If all blocking mechs are scrapped during this battle, untap each attacking mech at the end of battle. Yeah. That could send a second wave to wipe out a stockpile.
It's the anti-chump card.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. All right, if you want to read the next one.
Yeah.
No, I'm not as happy with Overrun as you.
Oh, what was your score on Overrun, Mark?
I'd probably go 5. And I know what you're saying, and that untap is great, but in a tournament environment, people are either going to tap, are going to block and kill it, or they're not going to block. So from that point of view, you're not going to get the opportunity to scrap stuff and restart. And by the time you get to the stage in the match where people are chump blocking or just blocking in order to survive, the game's probably over anyway. It just makes it that turn and not the turn after. If you want to try it, put 3 or 4 in your deck, put a couple of other cards in there that work well with it, like Forge Mission Orders, and go and play somebody and just try and absolutely use it and use it and use it. Especially if you know they jump block. And after a while, they'll either get used to it or they'll get fed up with it. And you'll win a few games quick, great. But actually, they will learn and you will find that people will either block and trade, which means you've got less untapping, or they won't block. If you're looking at an Inner Sphere, 2-cost mech swarm coming at you, I'd rather let it through and drop a heavy fog than sacrifice a mech, or I'd take the hit, because I know that if they're going to overrun me, I'm dead anyway. So not such a good card for me. 5.
It definitely gets played around. I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a highlight of the set coming up next. So we have Risky Combat Jump. That is, choose one of your mechs with jump and roll a die. On a 1-2, that mech receives 1 damage. Return Risky Combat Jump to your hand after the mission. On a 3-6, that mech gets +3 attack and prevent up to 2 damage to that mech.
So this is fantastic. If you have units with jump, of course, in Commander's Edition, they rephrase these cards that reference mech to units. So this includes elemental points that jump. It has the upside of doing both of the things that you want a mission card to do, giving you a kill when you previously didn't have one, or preventing a kill from your opponent. If you've got initiative, you can prevent that damage, those last 2 points, and your unit will stay around, and you get to get a kill on one of your opponent's There is the requirement that your unit must have jump. So gem of look before you leap, wasn't that it, Mark, from before, that people were playing a lot of with those jumping mechs, can be a hindrance against your deck if people are being able to throw four damage around at you. But if you build your deck properly, this is a 9 or a 10. It's fantastic. It sees a lot of tournament play even at the high levels today. I'd rank it a 9.
I like it. It's a good card. Arguably, it does, as you say, the two things that you want. Maybe plus 3 is a little powerful. Not sure. The downside on a 1-2 is that the mech receives 1 damage and you're not successful. The thing that you should be doing if you're a good player at this point is you're playing this on a jumping mech. So if you fail your risky roll, you jump your mech, and then if there's one blocker or two blockers assigning damage to you, you forge mission order one of them out of the way so that your mech still survives. The other card that's got great synergy with it is the Star Commander in Crusade, which allows you to re-roll any single dice roll. The card, I would point out, is not particularly well worded. It's any single die roll in the battle, effectively. So there's great synergy there. And with jumping mechs, yeah, fine, go and use it. If you haven't got jumping mechs, then don't stick it in your deck, as simple as that. It's an 8 or a 9 for me, just only because 40% of the mechs jump.
And when you're building a deck, you know, with cards like this that are gonna, you know, want you to jump, you know, what do you guys recommend in terms of how many jumping units that you want to put in as a minimum, you know, to include in that deck to make sure that these cards are viable?
I'd say more, at least 50%, closer to 60 or 70%. So you're thinking 24 units, you better have at least 12 jumpers.
Gotcha.
It's no fun to have a dead card in your hand.
Right.
I think it depends on the factions that you're playing with. I think it's dead easy for Wolf to have a Steel Viper, Ghost Bear, to have decks with easily 20 plus jumping units. And at that point, you're thinking, oh, do I put 2? Do I put 3? Do I put 4 in? Same goes for some of the clan swarms. Again, a lot of them have got jump. So definitely 50%, maybe a lot higher. And if you can build a deck that's practically complete of jumping mechs, then you know you're onto a good thing with this card.
Awesome. All right, another. Well, I was going to say superior mission card, and that's appropriate, not intended. Next card, superior navigation. So play only when blocked. Choose a mech, roll a die. On a 1-2, draw a card after the mission. On a 3-4, that mech gets +4 attack. On a 5-6, that mech gets +4 attack, and it untaps at the end of the current mission.
Travis, this is fantastic, and I just want to make sure everybody heard that play only when unblocked. So it is, there is a limited contingency on when you can play this, but it plays well with Forge Mission Orders and Inside Job if you've got those cards in your deck as well. This dice roll has all upside. There's no negative to this dice roll. Worst scenario, 33% of the time, it replaces itself. It gives you a drawn card. 33% of the time, it's got a great upside at +4 attack. When we looked at good shooting, that's the baseline of a mission, give you +2. This doubles that, so 100% increase in output. And then 33% of the time, it has the best upside in the world, where you break the rule of the game, get the +4 attack, and you get to untap and use that unit again. It is a huge, huge mission card. It's my favorite card to pull in Counter-Strike. Every time I have a pack with this as the rare, I'm a happy man. It plays a pivotal role in Peter Sundholm's Blum Wolf deck because turn 2, you have Mr. Spanky out. You go after a resource of your opponent, like Assembly or Tactics. You play this card. You have a 66% chance of taking that resource out on turn 2. You have Assembly and Tactics down. Mr. Spanky is an 023 dasher. Boom, it's out there. Play this mission, and you've already got the tempo advantage on your opponent. This is a 9 or a 10. It's probably, in my mind, the best mission in the set. It's one of the top 5 missions in the game.
Awesome. Pairs well with Morgan Kell, too, as well, at Inside Job. Add insult to injury.
Yeah, Morgan Kell costs a lot. This is a surprise. It's basically free, and you get that huge bonus. It's fantastic. Yeah, you could Morgan Kell with a Solaris contacts and superior navigation, and that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I was dropping Morgan Kell with Solaris in the other game, so yeah,
that'd be
just like no fun on the receiving end.
For me, the other option is Dasher Prime, superior nav, stockpile for 7, untap, and then another 3 from the Dasher Prime again. You could be 10 cards down on arguably after your first turn of putting 2 resources down. And that's 25% of the game gone, arguably. Yeah. In that respect, it's very, very good. The unblocked element also works when you're hunting. So this card works best with fast mechs. You want to hunt something that's smaller, then that's the target. You can kill it, untap, go and do damage elsewhere. It's a really, really strong card. It makes me want to hate Jenners. Mm.
That's pictured as a Jenner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
All right, next one we have is Trapped. I actually really like this card. I think it's extremely thematic. But we have choose an attacking mech, roll a die. On a 1-2, return trap to your hand after the mission. On a 3-6, put a pin counter on that mech. Any mech with a pin counter does not untap during its controller's untap phase. During the controller's missions phase, but not during a mission, that player may tap 2 mechs to remove a pin counter. I think that's just a cool idea. You know, I think that's very thematic. I don't know. I like it. It plays well.
One of my choices, and again, I think there's a lot to this card that's to like. The 1-2, put it back in your hand. The only thing you lose is the guy knows it's there. If they're attacking you, and remember it's choose an attacking mech, so this is a defensive card, you would play this as a defender, and you could leave this until their very last attack or penultimate attack, and you pin that mech. And now if they're going to try and untap it, then they need 2 mechs, which means those 2 mechs are not going to attack you. Or they're going to leave it and they're going to have to do exactly the same the next turn. So it's a great way to slow up swarms, but also it's a great way to tie up those big clan decks that have bigger, powerful mechs, but less of them. So you knock that out. They've either got to pay with their other large mechs to untap it, or it's going to sit there and do nothing. For me, it's a great sideboard card. It's a 9, I think, on that. If you use it right, it can be really, really good.
I agree. I think it's a really fun card to play in a Dirty Tricks deck. And that we're going to talk about another card in a later set called Underworld Connections. And you can actually add pinned counters to mechs. So you think, oh, well, I've got 1 pinned counter. I can tap 2 weenies to get this big guy back. Well, you add a 2nd pinned counter, then they're thinking, man, that's 4 times my units have to tap to remove this. That's just, it's easier just to leave my unit trapped and pinned. And it's a great way to get units basically out of play. And I think for the Inner Sphere and a Dirty Tricks deck like Lyle, it's really a fun card to play with. I agree, it's an 8 or 9.
I'm just imagining Smoke Jaguar pinning a Hihiro Kurita on the planet. And they're just loading those pin counters on and on and on them.
It's actually the theme for her hero anyway.
Yeah.
Any mechs that are attacked or in battle with him don't untap when he does.
He has a built-in pin.
Yeah, basically.
Awesome. All right, last one. We have Vicious Kick. Play only during a battle. Choose one of your mechs, roll a die. On a 1-2, that mech receives 1 damage and return Vicious Kick to your hand after the mission. On a 3-6, if your mech is 60 tons or more, it gets +4 attack. Otherwise, it gets +1 attack. All right. Sounds like a weird to go from +4 down to +1. You know, those 55 ton mechs, I guess they don't have a whole ton of oomph in the kicks.
They're feeling a bit hard done by. Yes, we should have had bigger shoes on today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're going to build a deck around this card, or you're going to build a deck and this card's going to fit into it. The +4 on anything in Battletech is as good as you get, pretty much. Superior nav, for example, leap before, or look before you leap. There are a few others that we'll talk about as we go through, but +4 is rare. So from that point of view, it's potentially a high damaging card. There's no downside of it. You're probably going to play it on a big mech that's going to take a bit of a punishing anyway. So one damage isn't going to change the world too much. And it could make a serious difference between the amount of damage you deal to the opposing side. I quite like it. I can think of a number of mechs where you just think, yep, I want to play a vicious kick on that. It's going to really hurt. So, yeah, potentially very useful.
When you think about those inner sphere heavies, a lot of them have three attack. A lot of the ones that come to mind, I mean, even in Karita, we're looking at your Hamamaru cheese and you're looking at your Grand Dragons, you can get three. This on the heavies that you can get over that tonnage limit will give you that seven. And this can give you that scrap potential. So it does in the right deck. You look at your mech selection, it can give you those kills at seven. So I think it's definitely a positive, conditionally relevant if you build your deck right. Good card. I'd give it a six or seven. In draft, I wouldn't play it because you're not going to have that consistency to have those heavy enough mechs.
It seems like, you know, in reading kind of missions like this, where the worst thing that can happen is that it goes back to your hand. And it just seems like that is kind of, you know, to have missions like that in the game and then have missions that don't have that is just kind of like an automatic death sentence for a lot of those other ones, you know, where it's just like that you have the chance of playing it and it just goes straight to your scrap heap. You know, is that a fair assessment there? You think that's
or are we picking all the argument? Good cards?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, there are mission cards that have the one or two failure. Temporary ceasefire is one that I don't think we picked the last time around. I don't think Mark picked that, but that card does see play in high level play just because the upside is so great. You know, basically 80% of the time you stop all damage. Right. That's not bad for a chump blocker.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, even that kind of reveals a little that, you know, the chances are either you whiff on it, but you get a proportionally greater reward on it. You know, there's just so many of these mission cards where it's just like, you got a mediocre benefit and then, you know, you could just not get anything at all.
Yeah. Those ones are binder fodder for sure.
Definitely. All right. So Mark, I think you had, put in a deck that you wanted to kind of go through real quick.
Yeah. This is Dennis Brooks's deck from the 97 Worlds. Peter won with the Wolf deck and what's the guy's name? Terry Bora came second with the Steiner McMallet deck. This one, I think it came 10th in the end, but Wizards actually gave it a highly commended award for the most innovative deck. And when you look at it, you just think, okay, there's a bit of logistics in there and he's playing some heavier mechs and I don't know much about most of those missions. They're not that great. But when you actually look at what the options are with the three missions that he's running bait and switch, no quarter and overrun. And I like this because it really, really does screw with your opponent's mind. Bait and switch is a bit like deploy reinforcements, but you swap mechs. So if I attack with something small and you block with something small, I can switch in one of my bigger guys to deal with you. Okay. No quarter basically says repeat the battle, but no missions, no alpha strike. Your armor doesn't refresh. It's pure damage again. And overrun says basically if you kill everything, untap and have another go. And if you look at what he's running, which is some quite heavy mechs, he's got Fenris A and C as a screen across the front, and then he's running Ryokan Prime, Gladiator Prime, and your favorite, Travis, Mariner War Prime. Mm-hmm. They're all heavy, they're all durable, they all dish out quite a lot of damage. The Ryokan Prime is a 276, Gladiator's 3.10.6, 3.9.6.
3.9.6, yeah. And 3.9.6. 3.7.4.
But for your Man of War, yeah. So if with that heavy amount of armor, they're going to survive and you play no quarter, beat up the other side, and overrun, repeat again, because it's a regurgitation of the mission. It's the same mechs, so initiative refreshes. So it really can play with the other guy's mind as to, do I chump block and lose because he's got overrun? Do I try and block and then get hit with bait and switch? Or do I try and really block and then he plays no quarter or one of the other cards? And my general consensus is that if you've got two of those three in your hand, the other guy's got a 50% chance of getting it right. Now, that's going to turn out for you more than often, or 50-50. But if you've got all three, then you're talking about winning 66% of the time. So I just thought it was a nice example of where you can use missions that maybe you wouldn't normally use. I mean, Overrun arguably is the one that might go in your deck. The other two generally not. But he built a deck around it and exploited the options and the make the wrong choice by your opponent for the best of his intentions. I just really like the combination of it. I thought it was really clever.
Well, and just looking at this, you know, for the first time here, this just looks like a beautiful deck. I mean, the simplicity is off the charts. There's definitely no rares there that I see. I don't think there's even necessarily many uncommons. I don't have Michael's Recall for every, you know, one of the 1,000 cards and whether they're common. But
Black Market, yep. I believe.
And which one? Oh, no quarter?
I think no quarter.
Okay. So yeah. But
there's no rares in the deck.
I believe as well is also uncommon. There's no rares in the deck now.
So this is a top tier deck that anybody picking up the game can build with ease. I mean, you could go on eBay and get all these cards for probably $20.
Oh, less than that. Yeah, it's a super cheap deck and it's a top 10 deck, right, Mark? This was the 10th in the world.
It came 10th in the first worlds. So we're only looking at limited, unlimited, and Counter Strike. Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you think this would hold up kind of in the later metas?
These days, I think it would play too slow.
Okay.
You look at what's there. He's got Fenris A and Fenris C, which are a 2 and 3 cost mechs with assembly buyout on the Fenris C. They'll come out quick, and then it'll be that gap. It'll be the 3-4 cost mechs that are missing before you get to Man of War Prime at 5. Which is at the top end of what you would pay in today's meta. 5 Ryokans at 7 with 1A cost are quite expensive without some resource energy. Energy engine like Merchant Cast and ICF. And your Gladiator Primes are slow. So I don't think in today's meta it would hold its own. But you could have a bit of fun with it, I'll definitely say that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks for bringing that one to our attention.